for Islam as it is with any other subject. Before we learn intricacies of fiqh, before we learn the isnad and the matans of the various ahadith, before we start delving into the intricacies of the halal and the haram, it's important that our foundations are correct. The question is, what is the foundation of our knowledge? What is the foundation of Islam? What is the foundation upon which we build our religion upon? I have been fortunate enough to meet many students of knowledge, and almost all of them, without exception, tell me that the very first hadith that they are taught by their teachers is the following one, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahman, irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis sama." In which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The ones who are merciful, the most merciful will be merciful to them. Show mercy to those on the earth, and the one who is in the heavens will show mercy to you." The foundation of Islam is rahmah, is mercy. Because without mercy, without this rahmah in our hearts, we cannot fulfill the duty which as Muslims we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is spreading His religion, calling humanity to the religion of Islam. Unless we have mercy towards humanity, we cannot do the role that humanity so much needs from the Muslims. If we have in our hearts hatred, if we have in our hearts pride and deceit, then we will never fulfill the obligation in calling humanity to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was a mercy to mankind, a mercy to the world. And this hadith about showing mercy to those upon the earth so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy to us, it is the very bedrock upon which we build our knowledge. It is the very bedrock upon which we build our deen. And it forms our relationship with everything around us, with everything that we interact with. This hadith of mercy forms the relationship with our surroundings. So it teaches us to be merciful, not only to humanity, but also with the world around us as a whole. So the Muslim is merciful and kind to those animals which are under his charge, to the environment, to the very world in which he lives. He does not abuse the thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted him with. It teaches us to have empathy. Empathy is something which is lacking from humanity. To have an understanding, to recognize the pain of another human being, to recognize the difficulties that another person is going through. This is empathy. Not to simply live in a bubble in which it is always myself, myself, myself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave himself to humanity. His very existence was for the benefit of humanity. He himself chose for himself poverty so that he may benefit humanity. Everything he did was for the benefit of others. If we look at the story of Khidr, when Khidr is mentioned, the first thing which comes to people's mind is the knowledge that he was given. The knowledge of the world that Khidr was given, which was very special by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he describes Khidr, what does he say? He says, أَتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا, who we had given mercy from us. So the first thing Allah described with regards to Khidr was that of mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about knowledge. Rahmah, mercy precedes knowledge. We need to have mercy in our hearts before we fill our hearts with knowledge. And much of the problems that we face in the ummah today is because of this lack of mercy. It is because of this lack of compassion and empathy that we have for each other. And I'm not talking about the empathy and the compassion that a Muslim has for another Muslim. I'm talking about the empathy and the compassion that we Muslims should have for humanity, be they Muslim or be they non-Muslim. This is the rahmah that we need to build and instill in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi, he says, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and I have made it forbidden amongst you. So do not oppress one another. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered Medina, what did he say to the people? He said, O people, spread peace, feed the poor, keep ties of relations, and pray at night whilst others sleep, and you shall enter paradise in peace. Spread the peace. Literally, give the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum. But what does this phrase mean? When we greet each other with Assalamu Alaikum, we're making a statement, we're making a greeting. But on top of that, it is a dua. It is a dua in which we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put peace into the lives of each other. It is also a statement to say that I come to you in peace. I come to you not with the intention to harm you, not with the intention to steal from you or to kill you, not with a knife behind my back. Because this is hypocrisy, this is treachery, and one of the greatest sins in Islam is treachery. Even on the battlefield, treachery is forbidden. Even when at war, treachery is forbidden. To say one thing, to make a peace treaty, and then to break it, is completely and utterly forbidden. There was a time under the rule of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and they had entered into a peace treaty with the Romans. And as that time was coming to an end, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he gathered an army and he entered into the lands of the Romans with the intention to attack them as soon as the peace treaty expired. And there was a man from amongst the army and he told Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed me not to be treacherous, not to break my treaty, not to be treacherous to the people. Upon hearing this, Muawiyah took his army back to the land of Islam. So even in that instance, treachery was forbidden. So what about in day-to-day life? What about that incident some years ago in Medina when during Ramadan, when at the guard post a young man comes and he greets the guards, Assalamu alaikum, and they reply, Wa alaikum assalam, and he comes to break fast with them, and the reality is, with him was a bomb which he detonated, killing the guards and killing and wounding several people around. This is treachery, this is khiyana, this is completely and utterly forbidden. This statement, Assalamu alaikum, was complete hypocrisy from his side. So the Muslims are not people of treachery, but rather they are the ones who spread peace instead of, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the hypocrites as those who spread mischief upon the land. We are not those people who spread mischief, but rather we are those people who spread peace. Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad, may Allah have mercy upon him, he says, Islam's vision of society is rooted in immediate and sincere concern for human welfare under a compassionate God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, my mercy prevails, is greater than my anger. In Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his attributes of mercy before he mentions his attribute of him being master of the Day of Judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Surah Rahman, he talks about justice, he talks about the scales of justice upon which he built the foundations of the heavens and the earth. And he tells us, do not make that scale imbalance. O Muslims, you should not be the ones to cause the scales to be imbalanced. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would regularly ask his companions if any of them had a dream the night before. And one man said, yes, I saw a dream, and in the dream the mizan was brought down and you were weighed against Abu Bakr and you outweighed Abu Bakr. And then Abu Bakr was weighed against Umar and he outweighed Umar. And then Umar was weighed against Uthman and then he outweighed Uthman. And then the scale was taken up. Upon hearing this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam scowled. He became sad. And what this represents, the scales represent justice. And when the scales were taken up, it means justice was no longer upon the earth. Yet it is the Muslims who are required to do justice. Speak the truth, even if it is against yourself. Speak the truth, even if it's against your parents, even if it's against your brother, even if it's against your friend. A Muslim is forbidden to bear witness to something he's never experienced, never seen. A Muslim is not allowed to sign a witness statement unless he truly witnessed it. This, my dear brothers, is justice and rahmah, which is so lacking in the lives of the Muslims today. Subhanakallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of God's servants are those when seen remind you of Allah. When you see them, they remind you to be righteous. They remind you to be good. Not but that when you see them, you think of somebody who's treacherous, somebody who's a cheat, somebody who wishes to harm you. but rather somebody who reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our da'wah, our call to the people must be by example, first and foremost. And I've said this before, the irony, my dear brothers and sisters, the irony of the world that we live in today. There was a time when the Muslims lived the Quran. They lived the Quran. When people saw them, they became Muslims simply by the behavior of the Muslims. Simply in the way the Muslims interacted with other people. We now live in a time that when we call people to Islam, one of the first things we say to them is, don't look at the Muslims. Don't look at the behavior of the Muslims. Simply read the Quran. Simply read the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you'll become Muslim. But please, please, don't look at the Muslims today. How sad is that? What an indictment that is against us. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, what was the character of the Prophet? She replied, his character was the Quran. As was the character of many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As was the character of many of the merchants that spread Islam through Indonesia, through Malaysia, and so on and so forth. People wanted to know, what makes you so truthful and honest and upright? What makes you a person that will never cheat me in trade? That will never lie to me? And the answer was, Islam. It is this book. This book which was revealed to our Prophet. This is the book which has transformed my life. How do we interact with this book? This shifa, this medicine for the heart, this cure for all maladies. How do we interact with it? I tell you how the majority of us interact with it. We wrap it up in a silk cloth and find the highest shelf in the house and we place it there. And it only comes down on special occasions. And those special occasions generally revolve around somebody's death. When somebody dies, and that the irony speaks for itself, we bring down this book and we gather the people and we recite. What we recite, no one truly understands, no one has any understanding of what is being recited, but we simply recite. And then once the recitation is over, back in the silk cloth and back on top of the shelf does this book go. Where the reality is, the book is meant to be read every day. The book is meant to be understood. The book is meant to be implemented. The book is a book that changes lives. And I've mentioned this before, 23 years. The prophecy was 23 years, from the age of 40 to the age of 63. In that time, the revelation descended upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that time, he recited it to his companions. And in that time, it transformed lives. It transformed a nation that was so backward, that were so barbaric. Arabia, no one was interested in the Arabs and no one was interested in Arabia at that time. The Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, had no interest in the Arabs and Arabia. Similarly, the Persians had no interest in the Arabs and in Arabia. They were seen as backward people. They were seen as barbarians. They were seen as people with no culture. They had no understanding of anything at all. They had tribal feuds which would last generation after generation. They would bury, as you all know, their baby daughters alive. They would inherit the wives of their fathers. They would kill you at the slightest provocation. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw fit that the Prophet would be sent amongst these people. And in 23 years, my dear brothers, is nothing. 23 years is nothing. In 23 years, this nation was completely and utterly transformed into the most courageous, the most brave, the most noble, the most truthful, the most just, the most upright nation ever to have walked the earth. You are the best of mankind. Who? Not us. Don't be fooled when you read this ayah and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about us. He is talking to the companions. You are the best of mankind ever, ever. There was not a generation better than the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 23 years. I have been now practicing Islam for 23 years, 24 years. And really, wallahi, I have many, many, many gaps in my life, religiously. What do we do with this book? How does it change us? How does it affect us? This is the question that we need to ask ourselves. And I'm giving this khutbah because many of the topics I've touched before in the past, I'm giving this khutbah today because I know it's a new term. I know there are many new students who have come aboard and I want to give them a message. Whatever you came to university to do, whatever freedoms you think that you now have away from your family, whatever plans you planned, I would suggest to you and I would ask you to rethink your plans. Because this is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Maybe in order for you to rectify your lives. To make a change for the better. To cloak yourself with the cloak of iman. With the cloak of rahmah. With the cloak of mercy. And to involve yourself in the Islamic society. And involve yourself in those things which will bring benefit to yourself in this life and in the akhirah. So with that, my dear brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are desperately in need of mercy. Not only His mercy, but we desperately need to instill mercy in our own hearts. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us tawfiq to become people of rahmah. To cloak ourselves with His attributes of mercy and forgiveness. And to be gentle with the people. And to call them with love and consideration. And to put our egos aside. And not be harmed by the harm of the people. And live Islam as we have been ordered to live Islam. And only then will we see a change in the world around us. Because we wish to make an immediate impact. We wish to make a change to the world around us. But the sad thing is, we cannot even make a change in the world within us. We cannot even give up those things which a Muslim should not be doing. Or are haram or forbidden for a Muslim. Yet at the same time, we wish to change the world that we live in. The advice the scholars give is change the world within and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you change the world without. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa salaam.